Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Michael Price, legendary at Mutual Shares, and of course, searching for value each and every day, patiently looking at Orioles, Yankees as well. For those of you worldwide, this is a big deal in the East Coast. Yankees, Orioles, how's it going?
It's going okay. Derek Jeter is batting .323, and it's, you know, almost October. No one would believe that.
It's been a very successful year.
Jiro Suzuki was 8-for-9, I think, in his last 9 at-bats.
That was an aggressive trade to bring the legend of Japan over here, and it's really worked out, hasn't it?
It's worked out, yeah.
Very good. Let's talk money. JCPenney, I was just over at the Apple store. Mr. Johnson made it. You have an interest in JCPenney's. Tell us what that is and why Mr. Johnson screwed up so badly.
So he hasn't yet. It's still early going, right? I love the fact that you went over to the store. Getting out of the studio makes so much sense.
Thank you.
So,
we'll send the bill.
It was Johnson and his guys who built the Apple store, and they're rebuilding JCPenney. So Apple versus JCPenney is a perfect example of steak and sizzles. You know, Apple today is all sizzle. You know, my kids go home, grab the phone, and ring up bills. You know, the battery runs out quickly. They've got to, I hope, in the 5, make that better, right?
They have.
And my kids have opened up all these apps and play these worthless games, worse than being a couch potato watching TV. So you don't want your kids messing with Apple.
What would be your recommendation to Mr. Johnson and JCPenney? What does he need to do to put that sizzle in?
He's doing all the right things. So as the economy improves, right, and as uncertainty from our election and China and all the European issues go away, American consumers have tremendous pent-up demand. JCPenney is a huge retailer, trading for probably half of intrinsic value. Remember, there's a lot of real estate value there. So at some point, some real estate owner, other than a retailer, can come in with a very high-quality tenant, mm-hmm. right, and cut a deal with this interest rate environment and get $15 a share for real estate at pennies with a long-term lease, freeing up a retailer. The stock's 27. Now, it's been flopping around quite a bit, but at 27, so you're paying another $10, which is a fraction of their sales.
We're going to come back and talk stocks, Michael Price, but I do want to get your mood on the market. Is this a cheap market? What a raging debate.
I think it's reasonable. With these interest rate levels and our PEs and our cash on our balance sheets, and America being the place to invest in the world, where else do you want to go? I think it's very early for European stocks. I got to tell you, I think this is a very interesting market, fairly valued.
How do you link your day-to-day work in equities with what we see for this historic policy of our central bank?
So we don't invest in stocks based on the macro outlook at all, believe it or not. I mean, we kind of are aware of the macro, but boy, we pick stocks from the bottom up.
But the punch bowl's never been this big. The punch bowl's the size of the Atlantic Ocean. Is that a good thing for Michael Price?
No, I call it the Ben Cliff.
The Ben Cliff.
The Ben Cliff ends, it's going to get nasty, but I love that nastiness, that volatility.
How much do you allocate to stocks right now?
Everything.
100% all in?
No, we're not 100% all in, but it's all I do is look for stocks. There aren't very many bonds around. But there aren't very many bankruptcies around.
The Ben Cliff, I like that. Let's go with that. Our viewers and listeners who aren't as sophisticated as you, they got a 401k and they know that Ben Cliff is coming, what should that person do?
Stay the course. Be with managers who have had a good long-term, 10-year long-term, not quarter, track record. Guys who have a discipline, okay, with good money management shops, with low fees. You know, the Franklin Group is fantastic. Gabelli.
Oh, that's a shameless plug right there. Michael Price.
I'm not a shareholder. But I'll tell you, the Gabelli Group, you had a guy on yesterday, or Mario, or another fella today, and they know their stocks. You want people who know their stocks. You don't want the Morgan Stanley funds who stuck, 10 million shares of Facebook on the IPO in there. That was outrageous.
I want to get to the banks, but quickly, Michael, with your work with the Yankees, what does a successful franchise mean to a community?
Oh, I mean, the Texas Rangers are over 3 million tickets this year. So
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
No, 3 million is a big number. The Yankees have sometimes gotten to 4. Do the math. I mean, it's a very large effect economically in the community. And Kind of, it's like a good college football.
Do you recommend the Los Angeles strategy where they're just throwing money at it to make the Dodgers go?
Well, part of that's the regional sports network they're going to create out of that. So you got to back that out. And these sports networks, like the YES Network, have been tremendously successful.
Very good. Let's go to the banks. Citigroup, you like. It's the pinata of the banking system. What did the gloom crew get wrong?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm getting paid to run the risk that they're not well reserved. We think they're well reserved. We think half a book compensates you for that. Seven times earnings when they're under earning, force in the world, 75 trading desks around the world, smart management. And they haven't yet started the dividend strategy because they kind of screwed up the application of the Fed to start that. So, you know, they'll have the ability to pay nice dividends going forward. You know, it's the cheapest of the large group in this country.
The quality of their management under Mr. Pandit, it's been a bit controversial. He's a quant. He's not the normal banker, is he?
I think he was the right guy for the last 3 years.
But not for the next 3 years?
As was Jamie Dimon.
But not for the next 3 years?
Well, we'll see. You know,
who would be a banker that could move Citigroup forward?
I can't help you. Someone within the
ranks. I want you to help me here.
Well, there are some people there who know the business. They've been moved around the business. If you take a hard look.
I agree.
You know, I know a few of the people.
The gloom crew on Citigroup says there's no transparency. They can't find reserves. What's the alchemy?
Well, they tell you,
what's the alchemy that you have?
That's not true. Well, we read their financials, you know, pretty closely, as you can imagine. We try and ask intelligent questions. I think these banks have gotten more and more transparent. But once again, you know, you have to look underneath a lot of the domestic loans. I think their international exposures are pretty well controlled.
I want to ask you about high-frequency trading.
Yes.
They're taking that issue up on Capitol Hill this week.
Finally. Where has the SEC been? Where has the New York Stock Exchange been? Instead of being on top of this front-running, the New York Stock Exchange sold itself to the devil. The only pure firm left is Liquidnet. They're the last virgin in the whorehouse, so to speak. NASDAQ sold itself out.
Say that on TV.
Tell us what you really think. Is there any?
So hold on. Let me elaborate.
Please.
New York Stock Exchange brings in $370 million a year selling market feeds, front-running data to the high-frequency traders. It shouldn't be allowed. Because the New York Stock Exchange lost their way. Why people go to the floor to show TV shows is beyond me. No one's there. That's not where the business is done.
It's a theater set, and this is a sensitive issue with me. I agree with you on this. What is a stewardship you need to see from Mr. Niederauer?
Well, look, they sold themselves down the river 3-5 years ago, 7 years ago. So it's too late for them. Okay,
but we have people in Washington that are supposed to look at this. High-frequency trading destroys the confidence of the little guy on Wall Street.
Hey, wait a minute. What about me? Am I the little guy? I got guys. I have to have two traders to run my little portfolio because I get ripped off on trades all the
time. Okay, well, here's the technology, folks. This is a very famous photograph I took. Right here, it's the Monroe Trader of Bill Gross off of PIMCO. And it's a photograph that I had out on Facebook. We've gone from tactical hand calculators to the Bloomberg, and now we're in these computer algorithms that nobody knows about.
Right. And we use some of them, but we're not front-running orders.
Well, defenders would say that it makes trading more efficient
Nonsense.
And cheaper.
Nonsense. Nonsense. You want buy side to buy side without the broker. It used to be the specialist kind of picking you off, 30,000 shares. Now they're picking off 100 share lots and moving prices around based on no volume.
Which institution should provide
leadership?
Which institution should provide leadership on this in Washington?
The SEC.
Where is the SEC? Arthur Levitt, I feel, a Bloomberg LP board member and a former chairman, he's been especially critical of their underfunding. Is it about underfunding or is it about vision and mission?
It's all of the above. He's right on the money.
I want to talk a Gabelli kind of price thing. You mentioned you're at a tool and die show, industrial stocks. Cooper Eaton to me was the most important transaction
of the first quarter.
Why are we going to see more transnational mergers?
First of all, you know, Cooper Eaton is a deal that makes a lot of sense. Danaher's doing something. You're seeing activity in the industrial space. There are actually more deals kind of a little bit under the radar than the big headline deals. And it's a real good space. These companies are liquid, they're acquisitive, they can bring in big savings when they merge, and you know, there are lots of examples of opportunities. You see Nelson Peltz and Ingersoll Rand, you know, Tyco splitting up, each business will get smarter and
better. Before we let you go to make the Boston Red Sox better, I need to ask about headcount on Wall Street. It's going to be a new Wall Street. Gary Parr told me that at Lazard. What kind of new Wall Street is it going to be, and where's headcount going?
It's going down. What's Morgan Stanley going to do with all these brokers they're paying for when they take over the Citicorp joint venture? Mm-hmm. There's no business for them. Spreads are down. There's no spreads in the bond market. There's no spreads in the muni market at these interest rate levels. Stock trading is what? 4, 5, 6 cents a share to retail people, I think, or maybe a dime. I don't know what retail pays. You know, professionals pay 2 cents or fractions of a cent, depending on how you put your order in. What are all these brokers on the sell side going to do?
I agree. I mean, Sally Krawcheck and I argued about this on the bond margins. I don't think they can manage down given where nominal bond yields are right now. I don't know.
No way.
On the long only buy side, I don't know how they make it on fees right now.
I don't know.
This has been wonderful. Please don't be a stranger. Come back.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.